Amen. John chapter 1. And our text for this evening is that verse 6. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That indeed is the subject of this study that we have had over the past couple of months. A man sent from God. Last week, in our study of this man who was sent from God, whose name is John, we considered John's likeness to the Lord Jesus. Considering the words of Luke 3 and verse 15, when the people who heard John speak and looked upon him, we're told, reasoned or debated in their heart whether or not that John actually was the promised Messiah. So like Christ was John. Tonight, we will move from John's likeness to Christ to considering John's labors for Christ. And in particular, what John had to say about the Lord Jesus. For when we examine his labors, we will see that John always sought to lift up Christ. This, of course, is in keeping with the Savior's own words in John 12 and verse 32, when the Lord said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And that is something that we will see in John's ministry, for that's what John always sought to do, to lift up Christ. Indeed, what a person, what a preacher, what a minister says about the Lord Jesus will reveal the character of that person and the character of his ministry. For the key to discerning the caliber of a man's ministry is found in what he has to say about the Lord Jesus. How he answers the question, what think ye of Christ? There is certainly no doubt about the character or the caliber of John and his ministry and what he thought of Christ. For he was the man who was sent from God to be the Lord's own forerunner, to be his messenger. And my, what a messenger John was. John was a preacher of Christ. I want us first of all to consider John's mission for the Master. Our text states there was a man sent from God. He was sent from God, whose name was John. So here then we have the worker who was sent. The worker who was sent. What was he sent to do? Look at verses 7 and 8. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Christ, of course, the light of the world. But look carefully at the words of verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. When you look at those words, you would expect to read, there was a man sent by God whose name was John. But it doesn't read that way. It says there was a man sent from God. So what might be the significance of that one word? There was a man sent from God. Turn to Luke chapter 1. And there in Luke 1, and in verse 26, Luke 1 and verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. There's the same terminology again. The angel was sent from God. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 2 regarding Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God is with him. Look at John chapter 8. And there in John 8, and we read in verse 42. In John 8, in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In other words, you look at the angel Gabriel. He was sent from God because where did the angel Gabriel dwell? He dwelt in the presence of God. He was sent from God because that was his dwelling place. The Lord Jesus was sent from God because heaven was his dwelling place. Now we read that there was a man sent from God. So what does that teach us? It teaches us John may not have dwelt in heaven, but he certainly dwelt in the presence of God. And he was sent from God. God sent him forth from his presence to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That teaches us that John was in close fellowship and dwelt, as it were, in the presence of his Savior and his God. Some of you may have read the writings of Dr. Andrew Bonner. Dr. Bonner was a close friend of Robert Murray McShane. Indeed, Andrew Bonner wrote biography of McShane, the memoir and the remains of Robert Murray McShane. If you want some good reading, you can get a hold of that book. You'll be blessed. But it was said of Andrew Bonner that when he stepped out of his study or out of the minister's room and climbed the steps into his pulpit and began to speak, the people in his church said it was as if he came from the very presence of God. For there in his room he had been in touch with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord in prayer. And as he mounted the pulpit steps, it was as if he came from the very presence of God. I believe that was the testimony of John the Baptist. There was a man sent not by God, but from God. Because that's how John lived. And John lived, as it were, in the very presence of God. Such was his fellowship and communion and close relationship with the God of heaven. Oh, that we knew something of that. That fellowship with the God of heaven that John the Baptist knew. No wonder when John commenced his ministry, there were those who wondered, was indeed this the Christ? He was so like Christ. So he was a worker who was sent from God. We notice also he was to be a witness for the Savior. Here we see that John's sole purpose in life was to be a witness for the Lord. We've just read that in verses 7 and 8. The word indeed is repeated over and over, three times in those two verses. John was to be a witness for the light. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness. That was John's purpose in life. That was John's sole purpose in life, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. His short life. Indeed, his short public ministry, as we've already pointed out, a public ministry that lasted no more than 6 months. And my, how John used those 6 months of his life and 6 months of his public ministry to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter where you look in John's life, as it is recorded in the Gospels, you'll find that John never spoke about anybody else or anything else but Christ alone. John simply lived for Christ, labored for Christ, was always looking to Christ. He was like Paul. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." That's who Paul lived for. "For to me to live is Christ." John was the same. And when anyone lives for Christ and lives unto him, he or she will be a good witness for the Lord Jesus. A person who lives for the world, a person who has one foot in the world, who loves the world, who's attracted by the world, will not be a good witness for Christ. We have already learned in this series how John was a holy and a humble individual who lived for no one but the Lord Jesus. You turn to John chapter 5. And here the Savior is speaking about John. In John chapter 5 and verse 32, the Lord says, "There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He," that is John, "was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light." So this is how the Lord Jesus described John. He described him as a burning and a shining light. And of course, the Savior himself said in John 8 and verse 12 that he was the light of the world. And Christ is the light of the world. And John was a burning and shining light. Where did he get the light from? From Christ himself. It's like the moon when it shines on a dark night. Where does the moon get its light from? From the sun. And here is John, and he was a witness in a dark world. And Christ described him as a burning and a shining light. because John reflected the light and the beauty of Christ. What a testimony. That's what John was. And how he was that burning and shining light in a dark and wicked world. Indeed, that's what we're all to be. We're to be lights in the world. And this world is dark. But we're to be a burning and a shining light for Christ. Ye are the light of the world, the Lord said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify. Not look to you, but look to the God of heaven. So it was with John. When you look at his witness, we see that his was a public witness. He did not hide his light under a bushel, but was very public in his witnessing for the Savior. Indeed, that's what the word witness means. This word has a variety of meanings. One of the meanings is to give testimony. To give testimony. So if we are going to be a witness for our Savior, well, it must be a public witness. And what Christ has done for us, why, we can't keep that to ourselves. We must tell others what Christ has done. John's was a public witness. We cannot be Joseph of Arimathea. Because until Joseph had a view of the crucified Christ, Joseph was a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. And what was it that encouraged Joseph to come out into the open and be a public witness for Christ? Why, it was a view of the crucified Lord. When Joseph looked at that cross and saw what Christ had done for him and what Christ had suffered for him, why, Joseph couldn't keep it to himself. Instead, he went to Pilate. He went right into the heart, as it were, of enemy territory. And we're told he begged the body of Christ. Was his witness. He begged the body of Christ. And we have a testimony. Those of us here tonight who have been saved by grace, have we not got something to tell? Sure we have. We can tell others about the Savior. Surely we can't remain silent or secretive. We must tell others, as John did, because he told the multitudes. His witness was a public witness. Tell you something else. It was a personal witness. The word witness has the meaning to bear witness what has been personally experienced. As we said, the word witness has a number of meanings. And here the word can also mean to bear witness to what has personally been experienced. Arthur W. Pink said, a witness is one who knows what he says and says what he knows. He deals not with speculation. He speaks not of his own opinions, but he testifies to what he knows to be truth. That was John's witness. And being a witness for the Lord, surely as Christians, we can give personal testimony. We can tell others that Christ has power to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. If God has saved us, and Christ has died for us, and shed his blood for us, surely we have to tell others. It's our personal testimony. We can speak about that time that Lord and his grace saved us. And we can say, I was there when it happened, so I ought to know. We ought to know. We were there when it happened. We know what it was like to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And when John bore witness to Christ, he knew what he was talking about. He had experienced what he was talking about. Look at John 1 and verse 31. John says, first of all, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record. The word record is the same word, witness or testimony. I bear testimony, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it bode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Speaking from experience, he saw. He was there at the River Jordan baptizing, and he was told, the one upon whom the Spirit of God will descend, you will know. That's he. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. Or as John says here, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. He spoke from experience. This was his testimony. And how sad it is that in many churches in this very town and throughout this land, there are men who occupy pulpits and they don't have a testimony. They can't talk about the day they were saved. They can't talk about the day they were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. The late Pastor Willie Mullen was a good friend of our denomination. He was a Baptist pastor in the town called Lurgan. I often heard him preach and thought he was a tremendous preacher of the word. And every now and again, some of the schools in the town would invite the ministers of the town to come to the assembly, say on a Friday morning. And there they would be on the stage, all lined up, all these ministers. And Mr. Mullen one day came up to the microphone and he says, I think we'll have a testimony meeting. And he called forth the local Presbyterian minister, who Mr. Mullen knew was a saved man. He also knew the rest of the boys in the pulpit weren't saved at all. And boy, were they quaking in their seats. Mr. Mullen called this Presbyterian minister whom he knew was saved. He didn't go any further. But the other boys on the pulpit, they were quaking in their seats because they didn't have a testimony. They didn't profess to be saved at all. So what were they going to tell their people? John had a testimony. Something that he had experienced. And he was a witness for the Lord. And he spoke from experience. We notice that he was the worker who was sent. He was a witness for the Savior. And he was to be a winner of souls. Look there at that verse 7. The same came for a witness, to be witness of the light, that all men through him, that is through John, might believe. That all men through him, all men through John might believe. Yes, John was sent to prepare the way before the Lord, and in so doing, he labored to see men and women brought savingly to Christ. That all men through him, through John's ministry, might believe. That ought to be the desire of every minister of the gospel. To labor to that end, to see sinners saved. That's what the Lord expects. Over in Romans 10, and there in verse 13, Paul says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So Paul was dealing with here, being used to win souls for the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul was a man who had a great burden for souls. Over in Romans 9, and there in verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. That wasn't going to happen, of course. But I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was so burdened for those whom he regarded as being near and dear unto him that he was willing to be cast away from God if it meant his brethren and kinsmen according to the flesh being saved. That was a burden and a half, was it not? And when he spoke to the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And you go on down, and all what Paul was willing to do, that he might gain the more. But what was he talking about? Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Save some. At least I want to save some. I want to be used to save some. And what was he doing? He was, as we read there in the verse 18 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 9, he was preaching Christ. Just like John. Let us then be witnesses for Christ, that we might by all means save some. Or in the words of William H. Houghton, who said, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today, that I might by all means, Paul said, save some. Remember what we said about Samuel Rutherford. Rutherford said, if one soul from Antworth should meet me at God's right hand, then my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. If I'm used to win one soul for Christ, Rutherford said, then my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Won't it be good when we get to heaven and see the Savior? Yes. But won't it be good when we get to heaven to meet those who under God we were used to win for Christ? So we have John's mission for his master. Then we have John's message about his master. When we examine the preaching of John, we see that he had a wonderful message to deliver. As we have noted there in that verse, so 7 and 8, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Looking at his message, we notice he was focused on Christ. Throughout John's preaching ministry, we see how he focused on Christ. He came to be a witness of the light. Christ is the light, of course. And we see then, when his focus was on Christ, that he preached Christ. Matthew tells us in Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. So John was a preacher. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He first preached the need of repentance. We've already considered that. John preached repentance. That was his first message, as it was the first message of Christ in his public ministry. He began to preach repentance. And so John told the people, you need to repent of your sin. But he didn't leave it there. It's all right telling people to repent of their sin, but need to be able to tell them how they can have that sin they've repented of removed. And so John now preaches Christ. I wasn't a great preacher. Preach repentance and then preach the Redeemer. John 1 verse 29. John saw the Savior coming. What did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Those words, taketh away, mean beareth away. And there on the cross, Christ bore away all the sins of all those who will believe on him. That was John's message. He preached Christ like Paul. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. That was Philip's message too. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 8 and verse 5. That was Peter's message as well. Acts 2 verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that's what the world needs today, is the preaching of Christ. The preaching of Christ over and over and over again. You look at John's focused on Christ. He preached Christ and he gave preeminence to Christ. John had no desire to put himself in the public eye. He had no desire to have people look at him. But rather those whom he preached to, as it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the apostles opened their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That's what John wanted. He didn't want the people to see him. He wanted the people to see the Christ that he had come to preach. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 15. He was before me. So verse 15, he says he's preferred before me. In verse 27, he's preferred before me. In verse 30, he's preferred before me. Three times over. He's preferred before me. So you see that John did not preach self. He wasn't interested in declaring anything about himself. He wanted people to see the Savior. He's preferred before me. Just as Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 18, that in all things, Christ might have the preeminence. Once again, quoting Arthur W. Pink, Pink said, this should ever be the aim of the preacher, to get his hearers to look away from himself to another. He is not to testify of himself, nor about himself, but he is to preach Christ. Boy, don't you love those words. And Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's what I am. I'm your servants for Christ. But I'm not preaching self. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That was John's testimony to. He was focused on Christ. You notice that he was fervent for Christ. That is, John did not speak about anyone else but the Savior. Christ was John's life. Christ was John's labors. Christ was in John's language. Christ was John's love. He only preached about Christ the light. He only preached about Christ the Lamb. We mentioned this morning the five solas of the Reformation. And one of those solas is Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, the Scriptures alone, Christ alone. You see, it's not Christ and something else. It's Christ alone. If a soul is to be saved, it is Christ alone. It's not Christ and the church. It's not Christ and what that person has done. It's Christ alone. And John preached Christ alone. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Notice it was the gospel of Christ which Paul preached and was not ashamed of. And that's the gospel that John preached. The gospel, you see, that does not have Christ first and center. That doesn't have Christ first and last. I'll tell you now, it's not the gospel. See, the word gospel means glad tidings. It means good news. It's not good news to poor, lost, dying souls if you preach on to them a message that doesn't have Christ in it. There's no hope. If you preach a gospel, Paul says, which is not another gospel, but if the people claim to be preaching a gospel and Christ is not in it, there's no hope for the sinner. No hope at all. Christ is the hope for the sinner. And that's why we need to preach Christ all the time. As John was focused on Christ and was fervent for Christ, because he never preached anything else or anyone else. And as we noted this morning, that's the message that hell hates. As Paul said, the God of this world, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. John was focused and was fervent for Christ. He was a witness for the light. That's another meaning of the word witness. It is the Greek word mart, from which we get the English word martyr. How many have been martyred? How many are in glory today, having received the martyr's crown? Why? Because they preach Christ. He was focused on Christ. He was fervent for Christ. And he was faithful to Christ. First of all, we are told in that verse 7, he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, how many believe through the preaching of John, we're not told, but that's the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. But what we are told is that John was faithful in his preaching. If you look there at the verse 15, John bear witness of him. There it is. He did bear witness. John bear witness of him. And we look again at those words in John chapter 5. And verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that he witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. John's witness was true. And those words came from the lips of Christ himself. Isn't that what we strive for? For the well done of God. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, praise the Lord for a man like John. He was true. And he was faithful. He's like the Savior himself, who in Revelation 3:14, Revelation 19 and verse 11, is called the true and faithful witness. See, there he is again. He's like the Savior. He's just like the Savior. He's a true and a faithful witness. Remember what the Lord said about him. Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet, public expounder of the word. There's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Boy, isn't that some testimony. In the last place, you have John magnifying the Master. John certainly exalted the Savior, and then he went on to lift him, as it were, higher. You look at the verse 15 of the chapter 1. In verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. He was before me. John the Baptist was 6 months older than the Savior, humanly speaking. He was 6 months older than the Savior, yet John says he was before me. John obviously and evidently had a true understanding of the nature of Christ, saying he was before me. For remember, Christ was before David. For in Revelation 22, verse 16, is described as the root of David. He was before David. John 8 and verse 58, he was before Abraham. The Lord said, before Abraham was, I am. Paul tells us in Colossians 1 verse 17 that Christ was before all things. So John, of course, had got it right. For he spoke of Christ as one who was before him. That he was not just 6 months before John or before Christ, but that Christ was before him, and he's before David, and he's before Abraham, and he was before all things. He had a right understanding of the nature of the Lord Jesus. And he said, I know he is the Son of God. acknowledged his deity. He acknowledged his eternity. He's before all things. That was the preaching of John. It is also the supplier of grace. Spoke of Christ as being the supplier of grace. Spoke of him as being supreme and the supplier of grace, because we read in verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John says Christ is full of grace. And he says he gives grace for grace. In other words, Christ will give us grace for every situation in life. Remember Paul, whenever he besought the Lord three times, that the thorn in the flesh might be removed, the Lord Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. This was the Christ that John preached. The one who is supreme in his greatness. He's before all things. And one who is the supplier of grace. He preached Christ from beginning to end. And when we need grace for whatever situation we find ourselves in, he'll give us grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. He addeth affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, he multiplied peace. His love hath no limit. His grace hath no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, what does he do? He giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. Praise his name. He is full of grace, and he gives grace for grace. That's the Christ that John preached. And don't we love him tonight? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father and our God, we bless thee for the ministry of this man, John the Baptist, this preacher of Christ, this man who preached Christ from first to last and everything in between. Oh Lord, give us a life, a ministry like John, that we may ever lift him up, that we might ever exalt him in our day-to-day living before the eyes of the world. O Lord, may we be like John. May we be that light. Wherever we may find ourselves, may we be that light for Christ in the office or in the workplace, in the factory floor. May we be that bright and shining light. And just, Lord, as the moth is drawn to the light, may sinners through our witness be drawn to him who is the light of the world. Lord, write this word upon hearts this evening. And, O Lord, indeed make us soul winners. For thou hast told us, he that winneth souls is wise. Be with us now, Lord. Grant everyone traveling mercy. Take each one to their home or their abode in safety. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, throughout the days to come. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.